hard for me to get out the house tonight. I said, God, if it's hard for me, I do pray for all of the women that the rain would not stop us in any way. And so while I was praying for that, Grace says, people would be deterred by rain? I said, yes. She was like, wow. So it was a new thing to her that rain somehow would stop people. She said, I would go. It doesn't matter. But she was like, well, I don't really care about hair and things of that sort. She's 13, so you know how that goes. But I do thank God for all of you who brave the rain and weather, that you get whatever God has for you tonight. It's so good to see all of you, and I am happy that you are all here tonight. Amen. So we will talk about a new woman in the Bible. Tonight we are in the book of Proverbs. And last time, if you guys remember, we talked about the what? The strange woman. Yes, yes, yes. So Bible study was supposed to be 2 weeks ago, right? And the Lord had a word then. But the Lord switched up the word. So tonight you have a totally different word tonight. All right, I had notes and everything ready for a word, but the Lord switched up the word for this night. So I'm excited what the Lord is going to do. This woman, she's a blessing, and it's not like the strange woman's word. Let me just comfort you with that. Remember, I started off the strange woman's word with I love you. I love you. I love you still, but nonetheless, this is a woman that we can admire, that we can look up to. The Bible says that when people pass by her house, that they can see that she lives there. Just imagine yourself walking down the street and there is a house on the left and a house on the right. Well, her house is going to be nice and beautified and just look everything nice and organized. And then you'll look to her counterpart, to another house, and it's torn down. Turn in Proverbs 14. Did y'all think I was going to talk about the virtuous woman tonight? No? We're going to talk about the wise woman tonight. The wise woman tonight. Yes, the Bible says that she buildeth her house, but the foolish woman tears hers down. So let's go ahead and read in the scripture. The Bible says in 14 verse 1, every wise woman build her house, but the foolish plucket it down with her own hands. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. We're not going to talk about the foolish tonight. We will stick with the wise. But at another time, on another day, we will talk about the foolish woman. But how can you tell a wise woman? Look at her children. Her children are her reflections. How can you tell a wise woman? Well, look at her house. Is her house well organized, neat? The outside reflects the inside. How can you tell a wise woman? Look at her relationship with the Lord. He will be her portion. She will have confessed her sins. She would believe in him and walk in the ways of the Lord. That's how you can tell a wise woman. Well, here in the Bible in 14:1, the actual word in the Hebrew wise is shakam or hakam. And what it means is to act wisely, skillful, to walk in word and in action in a wise way. Hakam or shakam, not Shaka Khan, shakam, all right? Wisdom is the ability to judge correctly. Is the ability to judge correctly. To follow the best course of action. To be able to judge correctly, and after you judge it, follow the best course of action based upon knowledge and understanding. Y'all, we don't have the slides up. I told Brandy tonight we're going to go old school. We're going to just do our Bible. How about that? Just our Bible. Besides that, I was running late anyways. So I didn't have time to really send it all to her without rushing. Okay? So wisdom is the ability to judge correctly and to follow the best course of action based upon knowledge and understanding. It is also the ability to see something from God's viewpoint. To be able to see something from God's viewpoint. Wisdom is God's character in everyday life. God's character in everyday life. I'm just going through a few definitions on wisdom. Wisdom knows better than to walk on a football field and hope that the game will go well. Wisdom knows better than just to walk on the field and do that. But wisdom would draw up a plan, would come with plays, right, Liv? Come with plays and come with passes, come with defense, and all types of things like that. That's what wisdom does, all right? Wisdom would not come up here unprepared. Wisdom would have been prepared to study. Charles Spurgeon says, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. The right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Whenever I was going over with Pastor, he said, you got to say that twice. To know is not to be wise. Just knowing is not wisdom. Many men know a great deal about a lot of things and are greater fools for it just because they know it. There is no fool so great as a fool that knows a lot. Have you ever met somebody that knows a whole lot of information but do not apply what they know? That's a fool. And that is the opposite of wisdom. But to know how to use your knowledge is wisdom. When you have the knowledge and know exactly how to apply your knowledge, that, my friend, is wisdom. And the wise woman, in every single thing that she does, she applies the knowledge that she has. You see, all of you have a knowledge in a certain thing. And the question for tonight is, are you applying that knowledge in how you live? We will talk about six areas where the wise woman is seen using her knowledge wisely. Six areas, Ms. Sharita. The first area is that this wise woman, and you'll be able to tell it when you see her, she's skillful in technical things. She's skillful in technical things. Well, what do you mean by that? She's an expert at something. Are you an expert at something? Now, the something has to be something that brings value. What are you an expert in? What are you an authority in? Are you a professional in something? Do you have a gifted task that you do better than most people? You see how Angel and Miss Leah and the worship team, that is an expert in that. Many of us would love to have that. God have mercy. I'd be like, touch your heart. Walk up, I do all kinds of stuff. God, I love it. I imagine myself being able to sing. You know, because like I loved Whitney Houston. And so whenever she would sing, and I would always love you, and she just does this with her hands. So I always pictured myself doing that with my hands. I just didn't have the voice like Whitney Houston to go with the hands. So I would love to be an expert in something. Now, as I go through these six things, guys, I want to let you know that we all vary on where we are in it. Okay? Some of us will be on the very basic level, and that is what I'm encouraging everyone to do tonight. For all of us to be at the basic level of all of these. All right? But our goal is to attain and go higher in all of these areas. All right? So the first thing about a wise woman, she is skillful in a technical work. Maybe it's cooking for you. Are you a good cook? Can you cook? And not now, you can't be the only one to think that you cook good. Sewing, but something that produces value. What is it in your life? Can you braid hair, Miss Cherie? Cherie, I asked Cherie, I said, Cherie, how you move your hands like that? I just can't move my fingers like that. You know how many times I've tried to braid my children's hair? I've watched tutorials. Cherie has sent me videos. This has been a years and years process to no avail. I'm still not an expert in braiding. I can barely plait. Okay, but nonetheless, what is your expertise? What area would you say I can give someone advice on? Every wise woman should at least have one area that you know better than your counterparts. What else about a wise woman? The Bible says that she builds her house. Well, this wise woman, she's wise in administration. She's wise in administration. Did you just make a sound, Ms. Denise? She's wise in administration. All that means is that she is a manager of her house. You know, in every single woman, there is a manager. Every single woman in here is a manager. She is. And what I've learned is a manager is different from a visionary. A visionary gives the vision, but the manager handles the day-by-day task. That's what they do every single day. A visionary, they just get bogged down by the day-to-day task, but a manager loves the day-to-day task. But in every single one of us, there is the ability to manage. At the bare minimum, you should be able to manage yourself, your house, and other things. As we grow, then we could manage a small group of people, then a larger group of people, and so forth. But in all of us, there is the ability to manage. You see, the key to management is delegation. Delegation, Ms. Tara. You see, most of us think that the ladies 20, 30, 40 years ago were better than us. It's not that they were better than us. They had 9 kids, 10 kids, 12 kids. But the difference between us and them is that they were delegators. They were good managers. Do you think that this one lady cooked, cleaned, and did everything? No. What they did is they had some cook, they had some clean, they had some watch the children. Come on now, y'all know what I'm talking about? My grandmother had 9 children. My mom's nickname is T-Mom. You know where that comes from? Being a second mama in the house. And so that's how it would go. I know mama has called your nickname. She's like, Lord, today. But that's how it would go. The mother in the back in the day, she was a delegator. See, many times what you're doing is you're trying to do everything by yourself. And you get all tired, worn out. And then you get frustrated and want to fuss at everybody. Everybody in the house, you want to frustrate and get upset. But instead, what needs to happen is that you need to begin to delegate. And I am growing in delegation. I love delegation. Last night, just to prove my point, Grace, I said, Annalise, bring the dark clothes. So they're bringing the dark clothes, all right? I showed Grace. I said, now I'm just standing up watching. I said, Grace, put the liquid in the washing machine. So she puts the liquid. I said, stop at whenever it says max. So she's putting there. I said, okay, dark clothes going cold and so forth and so on. I said, like this was a deep thing. I said, because if I had to go, I want you to know how to wash clothes. It's not that deep, but it's important to me. And so what I'm doing in essence is I'm delegating because what my goal is, wash your own clothes. Because you see, it's something about little cheering. Little cheering change 3 times a day. And they like to use a big towel, then another big towel. Use the same towel. You clean. After you get out the tub, you clean. Use that towel a second day.
When I'm washing, use it twice. If you want to wash, use it. Switch up however you need. Y'all looking at me funny. Y'all gonna be like, ooh, yes, I don't mind.
All right. So you wanna be able to delegate, wise woman. You want to be able to manage your house. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:14, therefore, the younger women, marry, and also what? Guide your house. Guide your house. A part of guiding your house is managing your house. How are you managing your house? Are you doing a good job with organizing and keeping everything together inside your house? I have this thing that I tell Annalise. Because, you see, she some people think that administration is a gift, and it is a gift. But this is what I tell her, Tessa. I said, there is a basic level of organization that you need to be productive in life. Regardless if it's a gift or not, you need to pick up your clothes after they're dirty. Okay? And so for every single woman in here, keep in mind, no, you may not be an administrator, but there is a level, a basic level of organization that you need in your house. As a woman of God, you don't want people to come in your house and see your house all in disarray, your car in disarray, your closet in disarray. That is not an example of a wise woman. Am I stepping on some toes? Y'all look cute, though. You want to guide your house. Yes, 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 yes. The third thing, a wise woman is discerning. She's discerning. She is discerning. Proverbs 14:15 says, the simple believes every word. The simple believes every word, but the prudent, the wise, they look well. They look well into things. You see, the discerning woman, y'all, she has a penetrating gaze. She has a penetrating gaze. And people that are in devils that don't like for her to see them, they hide from the gaze. I'm picturing the gaze like a laser. Can y'all picture the laser? And devils and people with no good intention, what they do is they try to hide from the gaze, from the discerning. It is very important for the wise woman to be discerning. It is very important. And you know, in this day where we are in 2019, it is of utmost importance for the believer, for the Christian, to be discerning. But for the wise woman, it is important to protect your family. You need discernment to protect your family. You say, well, how? Many ways. Because one thing that a discerning person can see is the real motives of people. They can see the real motives of people. They can see that you're doing something, but the discerning person can see why you're doing what you're doing. They look behind the makeup. They look behind the lashes, the hair, which I love all of those. They look behind the smile. They even look behind the fake gestures of friendships. Because some people are very cordial and very friendly naturally. But the discerning person can actually see beyond all of the, hey, how's it going? And I'm going to tell y'all, years ago, I didn't have too much discernment. And I remember praying. And even before I continue, if you can't see beyond the veil in things or behind why people do what they do, I want to implore you to pray and ask the Lord for discernment. Because at one point or another, I remember, I think the church was probably a year old. I said, God, give me discernment. I can't see things going on beforehand. I want to be able to look into a matter and know the intents of the heart. And God is a true, he's true to his word. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I asked him, and he did it. But the discerning person, they know why people do what they do. So say you have somebody in your life that may be a little jealous of you. Well, when the Lord shows you their heart, you are going to know every reason why they do what they do. So you will not be surprised in any of their actions. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, I got you. You see, but the discerning person see it, but the wise woman. You see, loose lips sink ships. You see, the wise woman uses that discernment to protect her family. You'll use it for your husbands to protect them from the strange woman. Because I don't know about you, but men don't see women like women see women.
Yes, Lord.
You know, we got something special with that going on. But you see, we know each other. Well, we know ourselves. And we weren't always saved. So when we do something and we see somebody else doing something, we say, oh, yeah, I did that before. I see how she coming, you know. And we can't necessarily hate on them, but we can just alert our husbands, strange woman, alert, strange woman. Hallelujah. You see, and I was just so blessed, and I was sharing it with Miss Ranika. I was listening to Lois Evans. I love Lois and Pastor Tony Evans and their children and all of them. And I was watching, they did a sit down probably for about an hour, Dr. Lois Evans and Pastor Tony and their kids. And she was talking about how some women would hug her husband too long. And I just paused it. I said, babe, because you see, it's so encouraging when you see other people go through the same thing. And I have many times I said, she hugged you too long. So, you know, you're thinking, this is Lois Evans. And so whenever she tells it to Pastor Tony, he just laughs. And so Priscilla says, Mom, is that the one that sent a picture of herself to Dad? Lois says, yes. And then Priscilla said, but you threw it in the trash. Lois says, yes. But I was so blessed to see that because what I saw was Lois identified a strange woman to her husband. The Lord gave her discernment in it. Discernment. Because some women will be flirtatious, they hug too long, they so forth and so on. You know them. It could be a co-worker of your husband's. It could be a the neighbor. I remember. Okay, I'm like, I want to see who's in here. I remember whenever. Let me see. Okay, yeah. Well, okay, it's really your story, Mama, but I'm going to say it. Well, when I was little, we lived in Truman. And anyway, so my daddy, they had our neighbor. Now, here I am. I'm like 5. But my mama's telling me, look at her. Look at her. But they had this lady. She would always come out in short shorts. And my mama said, every time your daddy go outside, she come in prancing, Now, I bet you didn't know I remember that. I'm 5, 6 years old. But nonetheless, it was a neighbor type of thing. And lo and behold, you know, and she was like 24, 30 years older than them. She could be their parents. But she was kind of like that. You see what I'm saying? You know, it was kind of fast. You know. All right, moving forward. But you even got to protect your husbands from forward men. In the sense of, with this homosexuality thing going on, they had this one guy, I'm not going to say his name, God have mercy. He asked Pastor, he said, why don't you come and see me to my house?
Wait, let me back up. Let me just say it like this. He's a leader in a church. That's all I'm going to say because I don't want to give any hints. The first thing he says was, he says, you know, I would prefer if Minister Anthony doesn't accompany you to the meetings. Discernment said, what? Why? That was number one. Number two was, he says, I'd like to meet with you at my house. Why? Discernment kicked in again. I said, oh, but no. Nonetheless, pastor did not go, and he texted him all the time, like, what man does this? All right. So you got to protect your husbands from forward men. Are you laughing, Miss Kathleen? But not only that, not only on the homosexual side, but also men that want to get your husbands in a group that they can, play like adulterate. You know, these biker clubs and things of that sort. So you got to watch your husbands from them as well. And so just warn them about things like that. But also, discernment will keep your children. You'll be able to tell your children that's not a good friend. That friend means you no good. Keep your children from false friends, Jezebels, Nabals, all of that. You see, because a friend, children can hide from children. But they can't hide from the mama. And so as a discerning mama, a wise mother, you can tell your children, that one is no good. Stay away from them. All right? But you can, that discernment can also protect your friends. Because you can share with your friends, hey, her, no good. All right? Because the wise see danger afar off and run away, the Bible says. Moving forward, our fourth point. Under the wise woman, we're just talking about characteristics of a wise woman. How many of you want to be wise in this place? I know I do, because I don't know everything. And there's areas in my life where I need to increase. The fourth area the Bible's talking about a wise woman is that she is a learned woman. She's a learned woman. Proverbs 9:13 says, the foolish woman is simple and she knows nothing. So the foolish woman is simple and she knows nothing. Well, on the flip side, the wise woman is not simple and she knows something. This learn is acquired knowledge, intellect. As a woman, you want to be able to expand your base, your knowledge base. What do you know? Are you growing in something? You know, scientists say that when people get in a rut, doing the same thing over and over, day in and day out, they get what's called atrophy. Because the brain gets in a rut. And it doesn't matter what you do, if you just do the same thing over and over and over again, that's when Alzheimer's come in. Okay? So at every stage in our life, we have to learn something. Have you been doing the same thing for 5, 10 years, what are you learning different right now? You see, because the brain is like a muscle. And if you just keep using it the same way you work out all the time, Misha, it'll become easy to you. So every now and again, people that work out all the time, you have to switch up your routine. And so it is with your brain. You got to switch it up. If you constantly do the same thing over and over and over again, what's going to happen is your brain will get in a rut. And the wise woman, she keeps learning. You see, the thing about wisdom is it only works when you apply the knowledge. If there's no knowledge, there's nothing to apply. If you're a cook, my sister, she's going to school for a chef. The thing about it is, if you're a cook, are you learning new recipes? Which I know that you are. She's making homemade pasta. Pasta, like the noodles. I said, wow, that girl's bad.
soups and things of that sort. But what are you learning now? Are you teaching yourself anything new? Are you reading a new book? If it's braids, if it's hair, are you learning a whole different style? Like these new things that people are doing in their hair. I don't know, Cherie. I don't know. Just something, you know? Micro. Who said micro? Yeah. But just something. Where are you? Where are you? And what are you learning new? Kingdom Jewels, if it's music, are you learning a new style? Because what it does, it works your brain. It teaches your brain something new. But you see, the thing about it is we get comfortable in the same pattern, Marcatia. We get comfortable doing the same thing. And you know, sometimes the flesh doesn't want to learn anything new. Because let me tell you something. When a new phone comes out, I can't stand it. Because that means I have to learn every single thing new on that phone. But what it does is it challenges us to learn something new. So I want to put out a challenge. Learn something new. Try something different. Don't stay in the same rut. And look, it's for every part of your life, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Keep learning. Keep learning. Because you see, knowledge is power, but to the unlearned, poverty. Knowledge is power, but to the unlearned, poverty. You see, and most of us have a surface level of knowledge on everything. But every single thing is like an onion. Picture an onion with me. And you know how an onion has the first layer? But with every single thing, you could peel off the first layer, the second layer, the third layer. And at every root of anything, whether it's flowers, whether it's fish, whether it's food, any type of subject, you can go deep. Wherever you are in something, are you going deep to the core of the onion? You see, Solomon, they could have asked Solomon anything because he knew a little bit about every single thing. The Bible says that he talked about fish and he talked about beasts. Any type of problem people had, they could seek counsel from Solomon. Why? Because he went deep into a subject. You see, if it's your Bible, are you just reading your Bible? Whatever it is, if it's hair, are you learning about cuticles and I don't know, whatever? You see? But you want to go deep. Don't, wherever you are, Miss Kendra, go deeper. Go deeper. And not only go deeper, but even get out the box and learn something else. Learn something else. Okay, yes, you're a cook. What about you're a hairdresser? What about learning cooking? You're a chef. What about learning hair? You see what that does to the mind? You see what that does? Miss Connie is a nurse. What about learning what Doc knows about chiropractic? Stretching yourself. You see, the wise woman is learneth. You know how y'all would be bad? Any subject people come in your presence talking about, you would be fully knowledgeable about the subject. You know? Fully knowledgeable about this subject. People are quiet in a situation when they don't know anything about it. Have you ever been quiet in something and it's just over your head? How does that feel? You hate it and you're pretending like you know what you're talking about. Fifthly, prudent. The wise woman is prudent. And all that means is that she understands money. She's good with finances. The Bible says that a prudent wife is from the Lord. She understands money. You don't have to be Larry Burkett or Dave Ramsey, but you do need to know you don't spend more than you have. That's the basic level. Don't spend more than you have. You have $10, don't spend $15. And plan on paying a late fee or a negative fee. That's what it means. That's how it looks. You see, all of us need a little basic accounting. As a woman, you see, an ideal picture would be that you would be able to handle all money management that comes in your house. And I know that may not be the case, but you at least need to know what checks are being written and how much money you have in your account. Far too long we write checks that we can't really cash. All right? Now, sometimes some of us have vices or hindrances that's going to stop us from being prudent. Some of us, alcoholism may be an issue that may steal our money. Gambling, smoking, prescription medication. What's robbing your money? What's tearing down your house? You see, we are fast to talk about the drug head, that she is going pawn stuff. But what the woman does that has a gambling problem and going to the casino and playing cards, what she's doing is, it's like she's taking things out of her house to go and play. But the drug head is taking a microwave to go and pawn, so what's the difference? Just because it's not eating your body. What vice is tearing your house down? Because you see, the foolish wife, woman, plucks down her house with her own hands. What type of thing? It could even be shopping. Shopping. Miss Leola, are you laughing loud? Makeup, hair, nails, all of this type of things. Even too much couponing. Because they have people that don't even need the items and they still buy it. How many laundry detergents do you need? Anything could be a hindrance. I know it's $2. You know, because it's like 30 cents. I understand it's 30 cents. But if you have no need for it, it's not prudent. It's not wise. And God want to grow us in that. God want to grow us in that. You see, whenever we are not prudent, we find ourselves jealous and looking at what other people have. But it's not that we should look at what other people have. We should work on being prudent and frugal in our own lives. Yeah? Because so many people, what I've seen is that they want to bloom in winter. Financially, they want to bloom in winter. But you know, things don't bloom in winter. What we watch what other people have, but because of our lack of frugality, we want to bloom in winter. But what I want to encourage everyone in here is to know that when you see someone blooming, know that they went through a lot of winters. Because what you see now is just a result of what the blood, the sweat, the tears that they did go through. So what we need to do is we need to work on being frugal, being prudent, handling our own money, planting, sowing, and then wait and expect reaping. But sometimes, Ms. Betty, we see other people have and we're like, wow, we don't have. But it's not blooming time. It's not blooming time. Oh, yeah, because you see, I know all of us, we can remember a time when we didn't have it the way that we have it now. You know, people see Pastor and I and may have some different thoughts, but what they don't remember is whenever he first started his law office and we had one vehicle and we lived by the law office and I had only Grace in a stroller and I would walk to work because he had to go to court for years. And then we bought another one, then so forth and so on. But people see now, and they're like, I want that now. We were sowing in winter. In winter. Or better than that, you know, we're the Lord blessed. We could buy chairs and all of this. But there was many a time where we would go to my uncle's house and get the folding iron chairs, put in the trunk, and take to Bible study for 5 years. For 5 years, we had Bible study on Monday then. On every Monday, we would come in and we would get it from his house. We would bring it to Bible study. After Bible study, we would go back and bring it back to his house every Monday for 5 years. 5 years. So whenever you see someone that you are admiring, just know that there were many winters. Many winters. Think about somebody in your life that you aspire, that you like, man, I admire them. They went through a lot. They went through a lot, you know? But our job is not to look at them, but our job is to be prudent in our own finances. Handle our own money well. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Last but not least, the wise woman, I can't end without talking about her being wise in spiritual matters. The Bible says every wise woman built her house. She's wise in spiritual matters. She's wise about the gospel. She knows the gospel. God bless you. She knows the gospel. She can say the gospel. She believes the gospel. But not only that, she knows her Bible. The wise woman knows her Bible. Now, what I'm not talking about is that she has to know all the scriptures and where they are. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about a basic knowledge of the scriptures. When you understand the basic knowledge of the scriptures, who God is, that's what a wise woman needs to do. That's what a wise woman needs to do. You see, you need to have a familiarity with the scriptures. If somebody says turn to Genesis, please don't turn to Revelation. You need to know who Jesus is. You need to know his stories. You need to know his stories. A general understanding. Sure, that's the basic level. Sure, you can grow up and know where the Bible says this or what the Bible says about that. But the very basic level, you need to know who Jesus is, what he did on the cross, and if you believe in him or not. That's the very basic level that you need to know. Sure, we can all grow. And it would be good that you would be able to come up and you would be able to teach what you do know. But the very basic level is that you have a good understanding of God. So that if somebody comes to you with something that looks like it's outside of the scriptures, you would be able to understand that it does not belong. It's like having a basic knowledge of a car. But if somebody takes a sink, a faucet top, and brings it to you and say, hey, look, this I found this under your hood, you would look at them like they're crazy. God bless you. Because you would know what? It does not belong in a car. That's what you need to have for the scriptures. You need a basic level of the Bible that you know if somebody comes off with some hogwash, like, listen, I don't want anybody to get married in here, then you would know that the Bible said only false prophets come and say not to marry. Or if somebody says, I want you to pray the Hail Mary and all of this, repetitive prayers, but you know the Bible says don't pray repetitive prayers, okay? So there is a basic level of the Bible that you should know. Tonight we talked about 6 different areas. We talked about... Let me pull it up. We talked about being wise in technical skill, being an expert in administration, discerning. We talked about being learned. And we also talked about being prudent. And last but not least, we talked about being wise in spiritual matters. This is part one of this message. Because we did not get to building. You see, the Bible says that the wise woman, she builds her house. And then we're going to get to her friend across the street. The foolish woman tears it down. But it's too much for tonight, so we're going to cut it short, and we'll have it on next time, maybe part two about building her house. We're going to see what the Lord does. But tonight, I just want to encourage all of us, wherever you are, to grow in wisdom. Because there are some areas that I need to grow in, and I'm sure all of us, you have areas that you can grow in. But let's pray. Most gracious Father, I do thank you for tonight. I thank you for the wisdom that you're pouring out, areas that we are weak that you pointed out to us, God. I ask, Lord God, that you would give us all wisdom, God, in discernment, in taking care of our house. Oh, God, I can grow in that. just in technical things and learning new things. Father God, help us not to have a lazy mind where we just want to stay doing the same thing. I don't care if we're 50, 60, 70 years old, God, 80 years old. Help us to constantly learn, God. Father, I pray that as we learn that we would apply every single ounce of knowledge to wisdom, that we'd walk in wisdom, God. Father, I thank you for all of these ladies here. Now, if there's anybody in here that may say, you know what, I'm not where I need to be with wisdom, I'm just going to open up the altar. Maybe if we can get maybe a little song going on. I'm going to open up the altar, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for one another just for a couple of minutes that we all grow in wisdom.